4 p.m. on Thursday, March 19th. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Representative Hopkins? Representative Story?
Present.
Representative Thompson? Representative Vance?
Here.
Representative Shaw? Representative Fields?
Here.
Representative Chris Tompkins?
Okay, we have three members present. I know Representative Christ Tompkins is just going to be a couple minutes late. The agenda today is pretty simple. It's consideration of governor's appointees. Once we get these done, we are going to recess and take up HB 190, I believe, tomorrow. Representative Christ Tompkins has been coordinating that bill. So, first for appointees, Jamie Allard, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Ms. Howard. Do you have a statement that you'd like to give the committee?
I would.
Please proceed.
My father, Jose, I'm Jamie Allard. I'm for the Human Rights Commission. I live here in Eagle River, Alaska, and I'll start off with a little bit of my background. My father, Jose Rene Del Fierro, came to the U.S. at 16 years old from Chile and became a U.S. citizen in 1962. He started as a janitor, put himself through college, and eventually became a nuclear division director for General Electric in San Francisco, California. I've learned a lot from my father and his living the American dream. Due to health reasons, he passed away abruptly at 33 years old, and I was 6 years old. My mother, Consuela Tricacci, came to the U.S. at 5 years old from Italy and became a U.S. citizen shortly thereafter. I was raised by a single mom doing her best to raise her four children. At an early age, I grew up to realize the importance of an education to my future. Growing up and competing in the Junior Olympics as a track and field athlete showed me what true grit and determination can do. After high school, college was not an option for me. I joined the Army in a critical career field of transportation specialist. Desert Storm, Desert Shield was kicking off. I wanted to serve my country in any capacity I could. In the Army, I learned skills I could not have learned in school. The Army provided me with vocational training, communication skills, and leadership training. I'm grateful for having been a member of the greatest team on earth. The Army provided me with opportunities to demonstrate my leadership abilities. I was an Army Sergeant in the U.S. Army. I married my husband, now a retired Special Forces Master Sergeant. Deployment schedules required us to rethink our career choices. Dan was further along in his career than I. So I decided I could better serve my country by working for the U.S. State Department. I began working for the U.S. State Department, and once again, I found myself deploying to the former Soviet Republic, promoting democracy. As a civilian State Department employee, I had my flexibility to plan around my husband's deployment. As a military spouse, I've learned to adapt to the challenges of seeking employment with each new assignment. I worked for Veterans Affairs, Social Security Administration, Department of Defense, and recently resigned from Governor Dunleavy's administration from Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to further my commitment to my community where I believe I can make the biggest difference. After 10 years of marriage, my husband and I started a family. We have two daughters attending our local schools, one an eighth grader at Gruding Middle School and one ninth grader at Eagle River High School. We have now been married for 23 years. Both of our daughters are on Team Alaska and compete alpine skiing throughout the country. Things I have accomplished were accomplished without me completing my college degree. I am now in my third year and plan to graduate from Norwich University, our country's oldest private military university, with a degree in national security studies. The program is only available for individuals like myself who have served as a federal executive level civilian and or military member. I understand the importance of Human Rights Commission for the state of Alaska. Not only am I a Chilean descent, first generation born in America, but I am also a disabled veteran who has incurred many injuries while serving in the military. Coupled with being a female who has fought for everything she's ever wanted, I would be proud to represent the Human Rights Commission as a commissioner for the citizens of the state of Alaska. As a volunteer for the Human Rights Commission, I don't take this opportunity lightly. I pledge to follow the law and will continue to work with my fellow commissioners to the accomplishment of our mission. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Howard. Do committee members have questions? Representative Story?
Thank you, and thank you for sharing that history and your work and your dedication to your country and your community. The mission statement of the Human Rights Commission is to eliminate and prevent discrimination for all Alaskans. I am would love to hear what your assessment would be on the current state of human rights for Alaskans, meaning I would love to hear that, and then meaning, do you think there are any groups that are not receiving adequate protections?
And before you go, Ms. Allard, I should have acknowledged Representative Sean Hopkins arrived while you were giving your statement. Please proceed.
Thank you. Representative Story, the Commission's operating framework is established by federal and state law. My duty as a commissioner is to implement the Commission's mission within that framework with compassion and understanding for all. I see it as my duty to ensure that, no matter a person's station, history, or background, and I believe they are treated fairly and justly with the care and the compassion.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Yes.
So, do you feel that there are any groups that are not receiving adequate protections right now?
What I feel is irrelevant. What I am here to do is make sure that Alaska Statutes Title 18, Section 18.80.060, Powers and Duties of the Commission, Line 5, is followed. Would you like me to read that?
No, thank you. But follow-up?
Yes.
But could you share something of your assessment of the current states of human rights for Alaskans and what you would hope to accomplish?
I will. I'm going to repeat what I said before. I see it as my duty to ensure, no matter a person's station, history, or background, that they are treated fairly and justly with care and compassion. I will only follow the law the legislature has put before us.
How do you, follow up? How do you feel Alaska is doing on caring for all?
I feel that the commission is doing the best job that they can. We've had a huge turnover with the commission in the last year, and we are meeting regularly, and we're going to continue to make sure that everybody is taken care of correctly and properly according to the law.
Follow up. So you're not aware of any areas to work on?
Anything that comes before us, we will address that according to the law. I do know that there are two bills that are sitting in front of the legislature, if that's what you're trying to refer to, HB 119 and HB 82.
Follow-up.
Yes.
If you'd like to comment on those, that's fine.
So we have not discussed those as a commission yet. It is on our agenda to do so the next time we have a meeting. So I believe that meeting will probably take place in May.
Follow-up?
Yeah.
Do you think sexual orientation and gender identity are characteristics worthy of protection?
Repeat your question.
Do you think sexual orientation and gender identity are characteristics worthy of protection?
I believe that's going to fall under HB 82, that the law and the structure is reevaluating that. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I see it as my duty to ensure that no matter a person's station, history, or background, that they are treated fairly and justly with the care and compassion.
Thank you.
Do other members have questions? I guess I have a follow-up to that statement. So, Ms. Allard, it's your interpretation that the law does not currently protect?
Nope, that's not
individual.
My interpretation. No, I can read you what I do know the law does protect. And it says the study of the problems of discrimination in all specific fields of human relations fostered through community effort, goodwill, cooperation, and conciliation among the groups and elements of the population of the state and published results of investigations, research, as in its judgment, will tend to eliminate discrimination because of race, religion, color, national ancestry, physical or mental disability, age, sex, marital status, changes in marital status, pregnancy, or parenthood.
Okay, well, to restate the question, do you think the law provides protections for people based on sexual orientation or not?
Well, right now it says, do you want me to reread what the law does cover in the statute of Title 18 that the legislature has put forth us?
No, I'm asking for your interpretation of that law.
I don't have the right to interpret it other than what the legislator has already put out in front of us, and that would be the powers and the duties of the commission.
Okay.
And it would be to eliminate discrimination against race, religion, color, national ancestry, physical or mental disability, age, sex, marital status, changes in marital status, pregnancy, or parenthood.
Okay. Do other members have questions at this time? I do have a couple more questions, but don't want to monopolize. On the issue of race, Ms. Allard, in July you made a Facebook post about village public safety officers, and I'm just going to read some of it for context. Your Facebook post said, the so-called village public safety officers aren't police, as that word has legal meaning here in Alaska. VPSOs, local police, airport police, state troopers, and some others are commissioned by the Commissioner of Public Safety, Amanda Price. They have to meet state standards, which vary from the limited commission of a VPSO to the geographically limited commission, local police, and airport police, to the unlimited commission of a state trooper. The individuals at issue are simply people hired by village government, most of them not political subdivisions of the state, and acting under their perception of tribal or federal authority. In the village, they could perhaps detain you and put you before the village council, but under Alaska law, even the village council lacks any real authority for criminal prosecution. Which brings us to what this is really about. The sovereignty advocates want the villages to have police powers and criminal prosecution power separate from state and federal jurisdiction, and the state of Alaska should never tolerate that. Based on that statement, are you categorically opposed to recognition of tribal sovereignty?
It's not my job whether I'm opposed to or not. As a commissioner, I have to follow the laws that are in front of me that the legislature has placed. Do you want me to repeat the Alaska Statute Title 18, Section 18.800.60, Section 5?
That's not necessary, Ms. Allard. You made a fairly strong statement here regarding tribal sovereignty, and you know, a lot of people, I think, reasonably equate people's positions on tribal sovereignty, which is well recognized under the law, with their views on racial equality. So could you elaborate, are you categorically opposed to recognition of tribal sovereignty, which is what this Facebook post implies?
Mr. Kosher?
I don't believe that doesn't have anything to do with my human rights position. It has nothing to pertain to discrimination.
Representative Vance.
I would agree with Ms. Allard that perhaps the issue of sovereignty and race are two separate issues. They can be combined at times, but I think in the area of Human Rights Commission, they are two separate issues and would like to keep them distinct.
Representative Vance, I think they could be. I also think many lay people reading this Facebook post would see it as racist, and that's why I think it is germane in this case. Ms. Allard apparently is not going to elaborate on her views on tribal sovereignty.
Well, I could respond to what you just said.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just going to ask, are you telling me I'm racist? Are you asking if I think I'm racist? Are you asking me if I feel that the post I made was racist?
Well, I read the post and I asked you to elaborate on your views, recognizing that many people would perceive this as racist. I couldn't claim to see into your heart, Ms. Allard.
Okay, so I will say this, that just because I posted a post stating what the legal law is here in the state of Alaska has nothing to do with anybody's race. And to take a sovereignty of a post that I posted and try to imply that I'm racist or to implicate that it was a racist post is absurd.
Okay. Ms. Allard, on your website you state that in 2018 you were appointed by Governor Dunleavy and that with the encouragement of your friend Amy Dombowski, you resigned from that position to run for an assembly seat. Is it not the case that you were forced to resign from that position by your supervisor, which, you know, would commonly be interpreted as being fired?
No, I was not forced to resign.
Okay. How long did you work as special assistant in DMVA?
I believe my hiring date, I don't know the actual official hiring date. I'd have to look. I did start working, I want to say on the 28th of December of 2018.
And when did you resign?
I officially resigned, I want to say the 23rd of or the 24th of May, one of those days. I don't recall exactly, but they're about 2019.
May 2019.
Yes.
So you were there roughly 6 months or so?
Roughly, yes.
How many offices did you occupy during your time working for DMVA? And how many of those office changes required trying to make an existing employee move out of that office so that you could be in it?
I occupied one office my entire time that I was at the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Okay. And how many requests did you put in to purchase new equipment or to conduct office remodels? I'm not talking, you know, paperclips, but major equipment like a desk, computer.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
What does this have to do
with
being
answer.
A volunteer on the commission?
Because it's a political move. I'll answer your question. I asked to have a printer in my office with approval from the commissioner so that any items that I printed off as a special liaison or as a special assistant would have a little more privacy, and he approved it. And I believe they were able to get a used one to move from the downstairs IT office. I can't remember. And then they put it in the office. That was my only request.
Okay.
That I recall.
So you did not request any major office remodels?
No, not at all. Have you ever, I'm just going to ask, down at the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, it's a government building, it's a federal building from the National Guard. There's nothing to move. It's a square box with a door.
Okay. Ms. Allard, when did you move to Alaska?
I moved to Alaska in May of 2010.
And have you lived in Alaska continuously since that time?
No, we departed for a brief moment when my husband finished his engineering degree, and now he works for the Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay, when did you leave Alaska, and when did you return?
We left in 2017. Wait, ask us again?
So you moved here in 2010, and then you said you moved so your husband could finish his engineering degree. When?
Correct.
When was that, if you remember the year?
We left, departed in, I want to say August of 2014, and we returned back in May, June of 2017.
And you say he was there to finish an engineering degree?
Correct.
Okay. Did you apply for permanent fund dividends during your absence?
Yes, we did.
And did you receive them during that time?
When my husband was attending school for the 2 years, according to Alaska state law, we did apply for the permanent fund dividend. The
okay.
last year we were down there, we contacted the PFD department, said that we are down here, but he's graduated from school. The advisor that we dealt with told us to apply for the PFD dividend for, I believe it was 2017 or 16. You will get turned down. You will not receive it. But because I want you to reapply for it, it keeps your status in the state of Alaska. I said, thank you. He said it would be better to do it that way so our information wouldn't have to go back through the system. So the last year when my husband wasn't in school, we did not receive our permanent fund dividend.
Okay, thank you. You list on your website that you were an owner of a successful mortgage company. What company was that?
I had a small business that I worked independently back in 2005. And I believe, 2003 to 2005.
Do you remember the name of it?
Del Fiero, Inc.
Okay. How many mortgage foreclosures or repossessed vehicles have you had to deal with during that time, and was Del Fiero, Inc. involved with any of those?
No.
So no foreclosures, no repossessed vehicles, nothing like that?
No repossessed vehicles. I don't know what you're talking about when it comes to foreclosures.
Okay. Well, I don't think I have any more questions. Do other members of the committee have questions? Representative Story.
Yes. Thank you. Through the chair, I'm looking at part of the State Human Rights Commission duties and state statutes states foster through community effort or goodwill, cooperation, and conciliation among the groups and elements of the population of the state that will tend to eliminate discrimination because of race, religion, color, national ancestry, physical or mental disability, age, sex, marital status, changes in marital status, pregnancy, or parenthood. I'm wondering if you are appointed to the commission, what community efforts or goodwill or cooperation with groups would you have planned?
I don't know what our role is fully as commissioners because we've had such a high turnover. So as far as getting involved with the community as a human rights commissioner, I don't want there to be any conflict. I don't quite understand what your question actually is. If you want to, can you elaborate a little bit, Representative Story,
sure.
Please?
Follow up.
Yes, of course.
Yes, it kind of had to do with just restating the first question I asked was, just in your role, what do you see that you would be doing to help, what events would you have planned to help eliminate discrimination or things to foster goodwill, cooperation in your role, in your work? What do you hope to see to accomplish? What have you assessed that are problems? Meeting this goal, we have the commission because there are problems in these areas, and I'm just wanting to know what you see your work as, and part of the statute does say you will be helping to promote goodwill, cooperation, and conciliation among the groups. So I'm trying to get a sense of why you're wanting to serve, what you're hoping to accomplish, what you feel passionate about that we need to change and protect in Alaska.
Well, you know, we have a very strong team of commissioners, and there's seven of us. Our chairwoman, Fulton Whiter, and as volunteers, we're doing this as volunteers. So as goodwill, I believe following the law and the statutes are what we need to do. I myself am disabled. I'm legally deaf. So I have understanding when it comes and sympathy towards that. As far as getting out in the community, that's something that I believe commissioners, we all need to sit down and agree what works best for us. And with our executive director, he's more hands-on. And I believe that sitting down as a group discussing those things or what we project we can do in the future is kind of where I'm at. We haven't had enough time to come together as a team yet, but that is something that we will continue to make sure that the law is followed so that people do feel that they can come to us with any concerns that they do have.
Thank you.
Do other members have questions? Okay, well, if not, I guess I would just close with a statement. Ms. Allard's statements on the record directly conflict with what I've heard from people who worked with her. From my understanding is that, in fact, she was forced to resign. She did request substantial office equipment and office renovations, and her abrasive personality is part of the reason that she did not stay in that position longer. So I appreciate the exchange, and I think it's important that we figure out the truth about that work history. However, it is not the role of this committee to hold up forwarding of a qualification to the floor. We don't have other candidates who are going to receive questions at this time. So the House State Affairs Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual. during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation. And I'm going to read the names of the individuals who this committee has considered. It's rather long, so bear with me. State Commission for Human Rights, Jamie Allard, Eagle River, William Craig, Sitka, Elizabeth Betsy Engel, Fairbanks, Evelyn Falzerano, Anchorage, Kyle Foster, Anchorage, Dan Lasota, Fairbanks, Hardy Van Lawrence, Fairbanks, Craig Johnson, Anchorage, Lay Tony, Lay Tupal, Juno, let me reread Alaska Public Offices Commission, Dan Lasota, Fairbanks, and Hardy Van Lawrence from Fairbanks. On the Personnel Board, Craig Johnson, Anchorage. On the State Board of Parole, Lay Tony, Lay Tupo, Juno. On the Alaska Police Standards Council, Ed Mercer, Juno. Still on the Alaska Police Standards Council, Daniel Weatherly, Anchor Point, and Joseph White from Ketchikan, and Jennifer Winkleman from Juneau. So, having forwarded, please do sign the paperwork for forwarding these names, and as I mentioned, we are going to recess and not adjourn, and I believe it's the committee's intent, assuming it's feasible, to come back tomorrow to consider Representative Tallarico's bill, HB 190. So at 3:30, House State Affairs will stand in recess.